Hello, good evening, and welcome to Star Trek ER, an all-new Star Trek podcast that hails from Inverness in the Highlands of Scotland. In fact, the capital of the Highlands of Scotland, but then you knew that anyway, didn't you? My name is Mark, and I'm going to be your host over the coming weeks as we take an in-depth review of my favourite Star Trek episodes. Now, I'm going to be honest, I'm not a fan of TOS, and I haven't watched all of Enterprise just yet, but I'm a huge fan of TNG, and I love DS9, and I've watched pretty much all of Voyager as well, so these episodes will predominantly be based around those three series, if that's okay. If it's not, then you can always tune in to some other show. My apologies for that. But listen, to get us off and running, I thought we would look at one of my favourites, probably one of yours too, and a really strong episode to kick off my revised podcast episode review series. I actually started this podcast with a number of episodes, about five or six episodes, but then I took a brief pause while I thought I would hone my podcasting skills and I would get more familiar with the software, I think I'm coming back stronger. I sound like one of those failed artists, don't I, from the 80s or 90s, that's doing one of these new tours. Anyway, look, enough talk. What I think we'll do is we'll jump straight into the episode tonight. We'll listen to it front to back. I'm going to be talking over it a little bit. I'm going to try not to spoil it too much. And then at the end, we're going to have a discussion about it as well. And I'll tell you some interesting facts and stuff that I've found on Memory Alpha and other sites as well. Okay, so here we go. Hope you enjoy it as much as I do anyway.
Captain's personal log.
So we join
Stardate 517.
Ben in his quarters.
517... 4? Computer, what day is it?
Stardate 517-21.3.
It's only been 2 weeks. I need to talk about this.
You do, yeah.
I have to justify what's happened, what I've done. At least to myself.
Of course, this episode is presented in like a flashback sort of format.
Not even to Dax. Maybe if I just lay it all out in my log, it'll finally make sense.
Sisko kind of narrates this log entry.
I can see where it all went wrong.
In the present time, if you like.
Where I went wrong. I suppose it started 2 weeks ago, while I was posting the weekly casualty list in the wardroom. Every Friday morning, for the past 3 months, I've posted the official list of Starfleet personnel killed, wounded, or missing in the war. It's become something of a grim ritual around here. Not a week goes by that someone doesn't find the name of a loved one, a friend, or an acquaintance on that damned list. I've grown to hate
Fridays. Sums it up quite well, that grim ritual, yeah. Of course, this episode kind of attempted to convey a sense of the horrors of war, if you like.
Skipper of the Cairo.
She was an instructor at the academy when I was a
Anyone tells us it's not all about exploding starships and nameless soldiers. There's a list of names there of real people with families and lives that are dying.
I'm sure it's the same old story. The Jem'Hadar crossed the Romulan border and caught them by surprise. It's only about the 100th time it's happened.
I can't believe the Romulans allow them to violate their territory so brazenly. Why do they get away with it?
The Romulans have a treaty of non-aggression and friendship with the Dominion, so they're willing to turn a blind eye to almost anything in the name of friendship.
Hard to believe the Romulans would be friends with anyone.
The war on our side. With the combined forces of the Federation, the Klingons, and the Romulans, we can finally go on the offensive.
That's the last thing the Romulans want. Think about it. They're in the perfect position. They get to sit back and watch as their biggest rivals slug it out in a long, bloody war. No one's threatening their interests. Why should they risk their necks? There's simply no reason for them to get involved in our war. No reason at all.
That was the moment I made the decision. It was like I had stepped through a door and locked it behind me. I was going to bring the Romulans into the war.
Great stuff. So while the titles are rolling, just to tell you a little bit about this episode, the original air date for this was the 15th of April, 98. And as we mentioned before, yeah, it's presented in a flashback format, which I think is quite clever, actually. I mean, there's no... Obviously, he's talking directly to the camera, and hence the audience. However, there is no direct sort of acknowledgement of the audience in the episode itself. Instead, us as the viewer has to take the perspective of the computer, I suppose, you know, which he's dictating his log to. So, this final draft of this script was actually written by Ronald D. Moore, although he is uncredited. And according to Ron Moore, the title of the episode was a reference to the phrase, "Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?" which is from the film Batman. So there's an interesting fact for you there as well. Great episode this as well. It's actually, I think, well, it's obviously one of my favourites, but I think it's considered a favourite by pretty much the fans and the staff, this one. I mean, there's a number of reviews, and we'll get to these later on, where members of the staff and crew, you know, describe it as a joy to work on, and they think it was one of the strongest episodes of that season, and probably of Star Trek, you know, in all, so... But I've got plenty of notes, I'm not going to spoil them all just now. Otherwise I'll have nothing to talk about later on, will I? Okay. Let's settle in.
It's in their own best interest to join the war. That's the key. That's the reason the Romulans will finally take action. Not to do us any favors, but to protect themselves from the Dominion.
Okay. Let's say I'm the Romulan Proconsul. From where I'm sitting, the Dominion isn't a threat to me. I have a non-aggression pact with them. They are my allies.
You're not going to put your faith in some piece of paper, are you?
Not at all. I've been watching them very closely since the beginning of the war, and so far, they've kept their part of the bargain.
They're violating your territory almost every day. What kind of an ally is that?
I like
this
analogy.
So they're crossing my backyard to give the Federation a bloody nose. I can't say that makes me feel very sad.
You can't be naive enough to think that the Dominion is going to stop with the Federation. When they're finished with us, they're coming after you.
That's speculation.
The Founders see it as their sacred duty to bring order to the galaxy. Their order. Do you think they'll sit idly by while you keep your chaotic empire right next to their perfect order? No. If you watch us go under, then what you're really doing is signing your own death warrant.
But before I plunge my people into a conflict that will kill millions of loyal Romulan citizens, I need something more concrete than the self-serving argument of a Starfleet officer. I need proof of Dominion duplicity.
She almost sounds
not
like a Romulan,
words.
Doesn't she?
Proof.
Very good, old man. You would have made a decent Romulan.
She would have done, yeah.
I prefer the spots to the pointed ears.
And the haircut, probably, too.
Okay, you've convinced me. They're going to need evidence. But if there is evidence of a Dominion plan to attack Romulus, it's probably buried deep in the bowels of their headquarters on Cardassia Prime.
Not exactly the most accessible place in the galaxy.
Not accessible to you guys, perhaps.
Not for us, maybe. Mm. But there is someone on this station who specializes in gaining access to places where he is not welcome.
I must say, I'm flattered, Captain. I had no idea you held such a lofty opinion of me.
The fantastic Andrew Robinson, of course.
Your faith in my ability to retrieve classified information from my former homeland is most gratifying.
Mr. Garrick, let's dispense with the usual repartee and concentrate on the issue at hand. Can you do it or not?
Of course he can.
No one wants to see the Dominion destroyed more than I do. But to go to Cardassia Prime, penetrate one of the most heavily guarded facilities in the Quadrant, steal top secret war plans, and then return them safely to you is not just another job. It's more like a suicide mission. And that
the scene is in the
well
war
outside
room.
My field of expertise.
He's so coy.
I didn't say you had to go there yourself. I have to believe that a man like you still has a few contacts at home.
He does love having his ego massaged,
though. A colleague
from
the Obsidian Order. An old friend. A reliable informant. Someone who might owe you a favor?
Perhaps.
Then I'd say it's time to call in a favor.
It would mean calling in all my favors, Captain. To do what you're asking would use up every resource I have left on Cardassia.
I doubt that.
And it may be a very messy, very bloody business. Are you prepared for that?
I posted my 14th casualty list this morning. I'm already involved in a very messy, very bloody business. And the only way I can see to end it is to bring the Romulans into the war. I am prepared to do whatever it takes to accomplish that goal, but I can't do it alone. I need help. Now, are you in or out?
I'm in.
My father used to say,
correct answer.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions. I laid the first stone right there. I'd committed myself. I'd pay any price, go to any lengths, because my cause was righteous. My intentions were good. In the beginning, that seemed like enough.
I take it at this point, though, he hasn't actually told Starfleet what he's planning.
If there's one thing I've learned,
he is lying in
bed. It's that bad news invariably comes in the middle of the night.
Carry to Captain Sisko.
God, those beds look uncomfy.
Go ahead, Major.
We just received a Priority 1 communication from Starfleet Command. The Dominion has invaded Beta Zed.
Now, interestingly enough, in the original draft for this, they were going to make it that the Dominion had invaded Vulcan.
Did Starfleet Intelligence know anything about the buildup?
I have that somewhere in my notes.
They believe Kalander was too far from the Dominion supply lines to be a threat.
Yeah, they initially decided on Vulcan, but they changed their minds when they came to the realization that Vulcan just carried too much weight.
But it was caught out of position on a training exercise.
So they decided that they would
Beta Zed's own defense systems are obsolete and undermanned. The planet was theirs in less than 10 hours.
With Beta Zed in the hands of the Jem'Hadar, the Dominion is in a position to threaten Vulcan and or Teller, Alpha Centauri. If we ever needed a new ally, it's right now.
Back to Garak's shop.
It's been 3 days. Have you made any progress?
Well, I suppose that depends on how you look at it.
This is how I look at it. Beta Zed has just fallen to the Dominion, and we need to get this operation underway.
I share your desire for swift action, Captain. In fact, after our last conversation, I made a few discreet inquiries among my former associates still living on Cardassia. As I anticipated, they shared my loathing for the current government and were willing to take on any assignment aimed at its destruction.
That's great news.
That sounds like progress to me.
Doesn't it? Unfortunately, they're all dead now.
What?
Yes. All killed within 1 day of speaking with me. I suppose that's a testament to the effectiveness of Dominion security. One should admire such efficiency.
I love the sound of the admiration in his voice there, yeah. Even though they were close friends of his.
I hope you're not giving up that easily. After all, the stakes are much higher than a few dead operatives. The fate of the entire quadrant hangs in the balance. Or at least that's the case you made to me.
Do you have another plan?
That's how we sold it.
As a matter of fact, I do. But I suspect you won't like it.
Try me.
If you want to guarantee that we obtain evidence of a Dominion plot to attack the Romulans, I suggest that we manufacture that evidence ourselves.
Maybe I should have put a stop to it right there. Maybe I should have said, thank you very much for your input, Mr. Garak. I will take your suggestion under advisement and gone back to my office and forgotten the whole thing. But I didn't. Because in my heart, I knew what he was saying made sense.
His name is Vrinek. He's been a key member of the Romulan Senate for the past 14 years. He's Secretary of the War Plans Council, Vice Chairman of the Tal Shiar, and one of the most trusted advisors to Proconsul Nerral.
He's also the man that negotiated the non-aggression pact with the Dominion.
Since you're familiar with him, I'll skip the rest of his biography. What's important is that he continues to be one of the most ardently pro-Dominion voices in the Senate. If we can convince him that the Dominion is a threat, the rest of the Senate will follow.
Right. Vrenak is a great character.
10 days from now, Senator Vrenak will be making a trip to Sakaara for a diplomatic meeting with Wei Yun. I am certain that he can be persuaded to make a secret detour to DS9 if he were invited by one Captain Benjamin Sisko.
How do you know you'll be visiting Sakaara?
Now, that planet, Sakaara, that they mentioned there, that's familiar, because I think... Please. Does that not appear
when
in another
Senator
episode?
Vrenak arrives, you will show him a holographic recording of a secret meeting held at the highest level of the Dominion.
I don't have it in my notes, but I'm pretty sure Dax and Worf go there.
You will tell the Senate that this information was obtained through various covert means at great cost to the Federation. At least 10 good men lost their lives bringing it across the line, that sort of thing.
He spins a good story.
He will immediately suspect it's a forgery, but you will assure him that such a thing would be impossible. You see, Senator, this is an official Cardassian transcript. It was recorded on a one-time optolithic data rod used for official record-keeping. These rods are manufactured only as needed on Cardassia Prime. Information can only be transcribed on them once and then cannot be altered.
He'll want to examine it.
Of course.
Naturally.
And he will discover to his amazement that it is completely genuine. At least, so it will appear.
But in reality?
You will have handed him a genuine optolithic data rod. But it will contain one of the most perfect forgeries ever fashioned. I'm still working on obtaining the data rod, but I have found the man who will create the holo recording.
You realize I can't authorize a thing like this on my own. I have to clear it with Starfleet Command.
Of course. But I suspect that with the fall of Beta Z,
so he is going
to
tell Starfleet Command what he's up to finally.
To bring
yeah.
the Romulans into the war.
I'll let you know.
One last thing, Captain. The man we need to forge this holo program is currently sitting in a Klingon prison awaiting execution. To save time and, incidentally, his life, I thought that perhaps you could contact Chancellor Gowron today and arrange a pardon?
What's his name?
Graython Tolar.
I cannot tell
good,
you how
then cuts to the wardroom again and we meet Graython Tolar, who's like a
the
blue
Klingons were going to execute me tomorrow.
Lizard chameleon faced
day. It's one of the little games
guy.
They like to play.
You do understand the terms.
He's
of
like quite
parole.
A cowardly
oh,
sly
yes.
little dude.
I have to promise to stay away from the Klingon Empire. That'll be tough. And I have to create
actually the outfit he's wearing in this as well was it was reused,
special
I think.
Program for you.
I'm sure I read
like
that somewhere as well.
I've never worked for Starfleet before.
They Let's probably do that quite a lot, the costume this. Department, eh? The
you're
wardrobe
not working
department.
For Starfleet. This entire matter is off the record. As far as you're concerned, you're working for me.
Oh, a personal matter. Something special for your eyes only. Something with perhaps 5 or 6 Orion slave girls.
Something seedy and pornographic.
I suggest you go and wait in your quarters. Mr. Garak will provide you with all the information you need.
Garak is here?
That's right.
Oh. Well, that's different. I'll wait in my quarters.
Obviously had previous with Garak.
The
he's
in the back of my mind.
Nervous just at the sound of his name.
Said, I'll never know. But it didn't take long for me to come face to face with the fact that I'd made a mistake.
Order to the captain.
Go ahead, Constable.
I'm sorry to disturb you, but do you know a man named Graython Tolar?
Yes, why do you ask?
Because he just tried to kill Quark.
That's all he needs. We now cut to Quark's where
Quark
Julian is
fine.
Scanning Quark's chest where he seems to be bleeding. Enter Captain Sisko.
As I understand it, Mr. Tolar over there came in about 2 hours ago, ordered a bottle of whale and bitters.
Looks rather inebriated
later,
as well.
He ordered a second bottle, then a third. Halfway through his fourth bottle, he decided to dance with Impella. She was otherwise engaged, running the Davo wheel, declined his invitation. He decided to force the issue. A brief struggle ensued, and Quark, in an uncharacteristic display of chivalry, attempted to intervene. So Tolar stabbed
Quark.
Him. Normally, he'd be sitting in a holding cell, but he claims he's a friend of yours.
He's no friend of mine. But he is working for me. It's an extremely sensitive matter concerning Federation security. I can't have any record of him being on the station.
I see.
Odo's a bit miffed.
I am certainly aware of the need for special security measures during wartime, but as a matter of law, if Quark chooses to press charges against Tolar, I have no choice but to make an arrest.
May I speak to Quark? How is he?
How do I look? I'm a man who just had a brush with death.
He'll be fine. His ribs deflected the knife from his major organs. Bleeding was superficial.
Superficial? You know how much the shirt cost?
Will you excuse us for a moment?
Love, Quark.
I'll check on you tomorrow.
Do you intend to press charges?
You bet I do.
What will it take, to convince you otherwise?
He's not comfortable in this situation, Benjamin. And
I
the smile stretches
Captain,
across Quark's face.
I've always liked you. I suspected that somewhere deep down in your heart of hearts there was a tiny bit of Ferengi just waiting to get out.
What's your price?
Well, let's start with replacing my clothes and Impella's clothes.
All right.
I'm not finished. I think I should be compensated for the loss of business I suffered today, which I calculate as no less than 5 bars of gold-pressed latinum.
Quark's loving every second of this.
I'm also having a problem with station security. They're holding some cargo containers which I've been waiting for because of some missing import license or something.
I'll handle it. Anything else?
No. I think we can call it a bribe. And thank you, Captain. Thank you for restoring my faith in the 98th rule of acquisition. Every man has his price.
That was my first moment of real doubt.
Back in his quarters now, he strips the blazer off.
This whole thing was a mistake. So then I went back to my office. And there was a new casualty list waiting for me.
I love this scene.
People are dying out there every day. Entire worlds are struggling for their freedom. And here I am, still worrying about the finer points of morality. No, I had to keep my eye on the ball, winning the war, stopping the bloodshed. Those were the priorities. So I pushed on, and every time another doubt appeared before me, I just found another way to shove it aside.
Don't mind if I join you?
Be my guest. Ops.
Hold. The less I'm seen parading through ops, the better.
I couldn't agree more.
You seem angry.
Who's watching Tolar?
I've locked him in his quarters. I've also left him with the distinct impression that if he attempts to force the door open, it may explode.
I hope that's just an impression.
It's best not to dwell on such minutiae. In any case, we have far more important matters to discuss. I've located a gentleman willing to sell us a genuine optolithic data rod.
How do you know it's genuine?
I trust the source, but rest assured, I will confirm the rod's authenticity before I make payment, which brings me to you.
How much does he want?
I'm afraid he's not interested in latinum.
No, he's not.
The gentleman in question has requested to be compensated with 200 liters of biomimetic gel.
What?
I don't know why exactly. One would assume it has something to do with genetic experimentation.
Offer him something else.
Believe me, I wouldn't be relaying this request if I thought he'd take something else.
Biomimetic gel is strictly controlled by the Federation and not for sale at any price. Find someone else who's willing to sell us a rod.
I wasn't exaggerating when I told you about the near impossibility of obtaining a genuine Cardassian data rod. It's something of a minor miracle that I was able to locate this one source. I'm virtually certain I won't find another.
I'd hate to be the guy in ops waiting for the turbo lift.
Give him what he wants, or forget the whole enterprise.
Then let's forget about it.
Yeah, he tries to call Garak's bluff here.
Hold. 200 liters is out of the question. There's not that much gel in the entire sector.
I believe the quantity is open to negotiation.
Ops.
Captain, biomimetic gel is an extremely dangerous compound, as you know. I can't release it without at least some idea of where it's going. In the wrong hands, it could be used to make biogenic weapons, or for illegal replication experiments, or to develop organic explosives.
Perhaps I didn't make myself clear, Doctor. This is not a request, it's an order. You will package 85 liters of biomimetic gel for interstellar transport and deliver them to Cargo Bay 3. Is that understood?
Yes. I'd like this order in writing, please, sir.
I thought you might.
Yeah, I wonder what happens here.
You should know that I shall note this in my log and file an official protest with Starfleet Medical.
That is your right, but I want the gel by the end of the day.
So I take it Starfleet Medical will contact Starfleet Intelligence. Or the other way around, probably. Sisko will have to give them the heads up.
The Founders have decided to implement Stage 2 ahead of schedule.
We're now cut to a holo simulation where we've got
too soon.
Garak, Damar, and Weyoun, and
the
another Cardassian
aide.
Fortunately, the Founders have better vision than you do.
Round a boardroom
table. They can see the opportunities before us even when you cannot. Consider. The Romulans don't expect an attack from Cardassia. The bulk of the Romulan fleet is still deployed along the neutral zone of the Federation.
Watch on.
The Founders estimate we could be on Romulus itself in less than 3 weeks.
3 weeks? I heard the same kind of estimates before we attacked the Federation.
Those plans were ruined by the incompetency of your predecessor.
Gul Dukat is a great man.
Gul Dukat is a preening egotist and a fool. We offered him unchallenged control of the Alpha Quadrant, and all he could think about was his daughter. Now, shall we get back to the business at hand?
That's it. Freeze program.
Tolar's here as well.
And that's all the new material. The rest of the program plays exactly as you saw before.
He's obviously just put the final touches to the holo.
Better. They seem
the
more
holo,
and all I had to do was add a little petty bickering and mutual loathing.
So, you are happy.
So Garak was chief writer here.
It's satisfactory.
You may record the program onto the data rod now.
I received a message. Senator Vrenak is on the way.
Excellent. Done. Who gets it?
Just put it in the case.
So that we don't get our fingerprints on it. There we are.
Well,
job done.
It has been a pleasure doing business with you, gentlemen. Call me again if you ever.
You're not going anywhere.
What do you mean?
I mean you're not leaving until your work is accepted by our client.
But that isn't fair. You can't keep me here against my will. I haven't done anything wrong. We had an agreement.
I'm making a new agreement. If that program passes inspection, you walk free. But if there is even the slightest flaw, then I will send you back to that Klingon prison and tell Gowron to take his time while he executes you.
All right. It will pass. You'll see. It will pass.
I sincerely hope so. Now, why don't you go back to your quarters?
I don't know who's more scary.
I'll be along shortly to say hello.
Sisko's giving him the strong arm antics and holding him against the wall. But when Garak says, run along to your quarters, I'll be along in a minute, I find that more frightening. I wouldn't want Garak to pay me a visit.
Maybe I was under more pressure than I realized. Maybe it was really starting to get to me. But I was off the hook. Starfleet Command had given the plan their blessing, and I thought that would make things easier. But I was the one
You had to make it happen. I was the one who had to look Senator Vreenak in his eye and convince him that a lie was the truth.
So hard can it be?
While you're entertaining the senator in the boardroom, I'll take the opportunity to make a quick search of his ship's database.
For what?
Well, for any intelligence information he may have picked up on the Dominion.
Search of his ship's database.
Oh, I think that's highly unlikely. I doubt the senator will be traveling with more than 4 bodyguards at the most. 2 will stand watch outside the wardroom, and 2 will stay in the landing bay. I assure you, they'll never know I was even near their ship.
Just make sure you don't get caught.
I'm surprised he agreed to that, to be honest. But then it is pertinent to the end of the story.
Report. Sections 52 Baker through 62 Baker have been secured. I have posted armed guards at every entry point, and I have personally scanned all compartments for signs of surveillance equipment.
Very good, Commander. Maintain current security measures until further notice. No one is to enter this area except Mr. Garrick and myself.
Aye, sir.
Always a pleasure to see you, Mr. Worf.
The scowl on Worf's face. He obviously can't stand Garrick.
Go ahead, Major.
We've just received the coded subspace signal you were waiting for. Should I reply?
No reply, Major. Sisko out.
I love this scene as well. We see a little monitor here and he's tapping away at a few keys. And we see one of the landing pads open. And this platform rises up, of course. We'd normally see a runabout sort of leave this pad. So it extends all the way up. A few more buttons. And then it comes back down. With nothing on it. And then we see it. A Romulan scout ship decloaks in the cargo bay. Fantastic.
I'll take my leave of you now, Captain. Oh, and one last thing. Vreenak believes he's on the winning side, so until you can prove otherwise, you may have to put up with a certain acerbic attitude.
Mr. Garrick,
in fact, that's the first time a Romulan shuttle...
I have developed a very, very thick skin.
Or a new Romulan shuttle, rather, has been seen since the Romulan scout ship in the TNG episode The Defector. And then we see these 2 Romulan aides. Aside to reveal Vreenak.
Welcome aboard, Senator. I'm Captain Benjamin Sisko.
So, you're the commander of Deep Space 9.
Great voice.
And the emissary to the prophets, decorated combat officer, widower, father, mentor. And oh yes, the man who started the war with the Dominion. So I thought you'd be taller.
Sorry to disappoint you.
To be honest, my opinion of Starfleet officers is so low, you'd have to work very hard indeed to disappoint me.
That's
if
a great thing.
Come with me, I'll show you to your quarters.
I look forward to seeing your station while it's still here, that is. The way the war's going with the Federation may not be around much longer.
He's a great actor, this guy. Stephen McHattie is his name, he's a Canadian actor. Then see him in some quarters sipping on some
fair
Romulan ale.
Somewhat lacking in aroma. Real cauliflower should forcibly open one's sinuses well before the first sip.
We don't have much experience in replicating Romulan beverages. Of course, all of that would change if we became allies instead of cold warriors.
Yeah, if we were friends, you could share your
Captain,
recipes.
I'll grant you that. But dogged determination isn't enough to change the reality of your situation. Time is definitely not on your side. The Dominion shipyards are operating at 100% capacity. Yours are still being rebuilt. The Dominion is breeding legions of Jem'Hadar soldiers every day. You're experiencing a manpower shortage. But most important, the Dominion is resolved to win the war at any cost. You and I both know the Federation has already put out peace feelers. Now, in all candor, if you were in my position, which side would you choose?
I'd pick the side most likely to leave us in peace when the dust settles. Maybe you're right.
Maybe the Dominion will win in the end. Then the Founders will control what we now call Cardassia, the Klingon Empire, and the Federation. So, instead of facing three separate opponents with three separate agendas, you'll find yourselves facing the same opponent on every side. There's a word for that. Surrounded.
It really is a good replica. The aroma started to grow on me. For a moment there, I almost forgot it wasn't the real thing. But only for a moment. You make some very good points, Captain. But it's still all speculation and theory. Nothing that would warrant abrogating our treaty and plunging the Empire into war.
He has a point, of course.
What if I told you that the Dominion is planning a sneak attack on the Romulan Empire at this very moment?
Keeps a straight face too, Ben.
I'd want proof.
And with the Cardassian Fourth Order protecting their flag,
cut to the holosuite.
The 23rd Jem'Hadar division will begin its thrust across the Glentaurus sector. They should begin the invasion of Romulus on the following day.
Seeing the program.
Once we've taken the whole world, organized resistance will crumble.
He walks up close to Weyoun's character to check him out.
Consolidation
he studies the Cardassians sitting around the table.
What if the Romulan fleet react faster than you're anticipating? What if they pull all of their forces away from the Federation border at the first sign of our attack?
As they're talking, he walks away, he turns his back on them, and he walks back towards
they
Ben.
They say the Romulans are not ready for war and will not react fast enough once it begins.
And Ben now, just looks straight
do you
on.
Do wish to dispute their
as Vrenak looks at him.
No, of course not. I serve the Founders.
As do we all. Meeting adjourned.
I'd like to examine that data rod.
So he already has his suspicions about it being a fake. Ben places it in the case and hands it to the Romulan senator. Completely straight-faced.
So all I could do
they looked each other eyes in each other's eyes there to see if he could work him out.
Tolar's forgery. Really was. So I waited. Tried to catch up on my paperwork. But I found it very difficult to focus on criminal activity reports, huh? Cargo manifests. So I went back to pacing, staring out of the window. I'm not an impatient man. I'm not one to agonize over decisions once they're made. I got that from my father. He always says, worry and doubt are the greatest enemies of a great chef. The souffle will either rise or it won't. There's not a damn thing you can do about it.
We're almost
there,
folks.
So you might as well just sit back and wait. And see what happens.
One of the most popular Star Trek quotations of all time is in the next act.
But this time, the cost of failure was so high. I found it difficult to take his advice. If Vrenak discovered that the data rod was a forgery, if he realized that we were trying to trick them into the war, it could push the Romulans even farther into the enemy camp. They could start to openly help the Dominion.
In this episode, and we see him walk down the corridor
worst,
here on the way
they
to
could actually join
quarters.
War against us.
Arrives
I have a distinct feeling that victory or defeat would be decided in the next few minutes.
And as he walks in, there are two Romulan guards at the door. Vrenak dismisses them with a nod of the head. Ben takes a breath, and here it comes.
It's a fake!
Can't say a thing.
So, it all blew up in my face. And all the lies and compromises The inner doubts and rationalizations all for nothing. Vreenak was furious. I can't say I blamed him. I'd have reacted the same way. After telling me in no uncertain terms that he would expose this vile deception to the entire Alpha Quadrant, he got back in his shuttle and headed home. There didn't seem to be anything more to do. So
I'd be keen to know or to learn how he worked out it was a fake. I mean, did he have equipment there to analyze it?
For me today.
I had one. Maria Tatalia.
Maybe he transmitted a copy back home on the Tal Shiar.
Actually, only met her once.
Reviewed it. I don't know. Not sure about that.
Friend of a friend between the two of us. Well, I know it sounds a bit strange, but I'd say we're off to a pretty good start today.
Captain. We just received word from Starfleet Intelligence that a Romulan shuttlecraft carrying a high-ranking senator has just been destroyed.
Which senator?
Senator Vreenak. He was returning to Romulus from a diplomatic mission to Sakaar when his shuttle exploded. The Tal Shiar are investigating, but preliminary reports point to sabotage. They believe that the Dominion is responsible.
The Dominion assassinated a Romulan senator.
On a diplomatic mission.
That changes everything. It could even bring the Romulans into the war.
Excuse me.
Sisko, filled with rage, leaves the wardroom, down the corridor, onto the promenade, straight to Garak's shop. In the door. Bang! Back of the fist.
Get back! You killed him!
That's right.
That's what you planned to do all along, isn't it? You knew the data rod wouldn't hold up to scrutiny. You just wanted to get him on the station so that you could plant a bomb on his shuttle.
It wasn't quite that simple. I did have hopes that the rod would somehow pass inspection, but I suspected that Tolar may not have been up to the task.
And what about Tolar? Did you kill him too?
Think of them both as tragic victims of war. If you can allow your anger to subside for a moment, you'll see that they did not die in vain. The Romulans will enter the war.
There's no guarantee of that.
Oh, but I think that there is. You see, when the Tal Shiar finishes examining the wreckage of Vreenak's shuttle, they'll find the burnt remnants of a Cardassian optolithic data rod which somehow miraculously survived the explosion. After painstaking forensic examination, they'll discover that the rod contains a recording of a high-level Dominion meeting at which the invasion of Romulus was being planned.
And then they'll discover that it is a fraud!
Oh, I don't think they will. Because any imperfections in the forgery will appear to be a result of the explosion. So, with a seemingly legitimate rod in one hand and a dead senator in the other, I ask you, Captain, what conclusion would you draw?
That Vreenak obtained the rod on Sukara, and that the Dominion killed him to prevent him from returning to Romulus with it.
Precisely. And the more the Dominion protests its innocence, the more the Romulans will believe they're guilty, because it's exactly what the Romulans would have done in their place.
This is a great scene, isn't it?
That's why you came to me. Isn't it, Captain? Because you knew I could do those things that you weren't capable of doing.
That's right, the dirty work.
Well, it worked. And you'll get what you want. A war between the Romulans and the Dominion. And if your conscience is bothering you, you should soothe it with the knowledge that you may have just saved the entire Alpha Quadrant, and all it cost was the life of one Romulan senator, one criminal, and the self-respect of one Starfleet officer.
I love how Garak can be so emotionally charged.
I don't know about you. But I'd call
but still be incredibly eloquent at the same time.
At 0800 hours, station time, the Romulan Empire formally declared war against the Dominion. They have already struck 15 bases along the Cardassian border.
So, this is a huge victory for the good guys.
Isn't
this
it?
May even be the turning point of the entire war. There is even a welcome to the fight party tonight in the wardroom.
So you can raise that glass. So, don't know what he's drinking here, anyway.
I lied.
It's like vodka or tequila.
I cheated. I bribed men to cover the crimes of other men. I am an accessory to murder. But the most damning thing of all, I think I can live with it. And if I had to do it all over again, I would. Garrick was right about one thing. A guilty conscience is a small price to pay for the safety of the Alpha Quadrant.
He's
so
right,
I
yeah.
will learn to live with it.
Because you can't you?
Because I can live with it. I can live with it. Computer, erase that entire personal log.
And there we have it. So, that was great. And I suppose we should ask the big question, how did this episode go down? Well, In the Pale Moonlight is generally considered by both fans and staff, as we mentioned earlier, as the darkest Star Trek episode ever made. And it kind of flies in the face of everything that Gene Roddenberry thought of Starfleet, the Federation, and indeed mankind in the 24th century. Despite this, though, the episode has proven to be one of the most popular amongst the fans. In fact, when the series ended in 1999, there was a poll in Sci-Fi Entertainment, and it had this episode as the highest rated show of the entire 7-year run, followed by The Visitor and Far Beyond the Stars. And furthermore, it was actually it has a rating, an average rating of 4.8 out of 5 on the official Star Trek website, making it one of the highest rated episodes of the entire site, which is quite impressive, eh? Andrew Robinson, who plays Garrick, of course, he nominates this as one of his favourite episodes after The Wire and Improbable Cause. And according to Robinson, this episode is about Garrick teaching Sisko that you can't go to bed with the devil without having sex. Of this episode, writer Michael Taylor says, it showed how Deep Space Nine could really stretch the Star Trek formula. It pushes the boundaries in a realistic way because the decisions Sisko makes are the kind of decisions that have to be made in war, therefore the greater good. And in a separate interview, Andrew Robinson made a similar point, stating that this episode demonstrated how Deep Space Nine explored more difficult issues than the other Star Trek series. He commented, basically, it exposes the American innocence, that we want to do these things in the world, but we're not really willing to take the consequences of our actions. And sometimes we have to do very dirty things, and we have to hurt people, and we pretend that that doesn't exist. That Americans would never do that. We dealt with issues like that, and I don't think, you know, the other shows really went as far as we did. According to the 99 book Science Fiction of the 20th Century, by author Frank M. Robinson, In the Pale Moonlight was mentioned by TV Guide as one of the best dramatic shows of the season. In it, Captain Sisko is forced to betray his ideals to save the lives of millions on a planetary system at the cost of one petty criminal and one ambassador of dubious loyalty. On the surface, no contest. But Brooks played the role with depth and feeling, unusual in a science fiction series. And I think that's what really made this episode stand out. Avery Brooks, the fact that it's predominantly, it's more or less a monologue episode, isn't it? I know there's obviously acting in between times, but the one-on-one stuff with the camera in his quarters is fantastic. And the fact that he's stripping off as well during it, I think someone had mentioned as well in another review, it's almost like he's baring his soul to us, you know. But also it demonstrates like the passage of time that's followed. So I just really, really enjoyed it. And it never grows old either, does it? I mean, it's one of these ones you can go back and watch as often as you like and still get a great deal of enjoyment and satisfaction out of it. So There we go. Right, hope you've enjoyed my first show. I am going to come back soon with another one, hopefully. And until then, thanks very much for joining me, and we'll see you again soon. Okay, bye for now. Oh, and before I go, sorry, I almost forgot. To keep up to date with everything, remember to visit my site. It's trekerpodcast.podomatic.com, or you can send me an email. You can find me at trekerpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. See you next week. Bye-bye.